Welcome everyone to our worship service this Lord's Day. Today is our pre-communion service. Next Lord's Day is communion at 12 noon and then Thanksgiving service in the evening. Today we have our prayer meeting this evening at 10 past 7 and then the evening worship service at 7:30. The announcements then for the week ahead. Tomorrow evening is the monthly online prayer time for Northern Presbytery congregations. It's my turn to lead that. That's tomorrow evening at 7:30. Then the session is due to meet on Tuesday evening at 8 o'clock in the session room. And a reminder to elders to bring your elders' manual for that meeting on Tuesday. Wednesday evening then, there's a pro renata meeting of the Northern Presbytery. And it's not in the usual venue. It's in Clough Mills at 7:30 in Clough Mills. Elliot is due to be our elder for Kilrats at that meeting. Then the CY resumes on Friday, Friday evening at 8 o'clock in the upper room. And next Lord's Day then, Sabbath school classes at 11. Today we had the first of our morning prayer times at 11:30. And that's a weekly event. So there's a prayer time at 11:30 next Lord's Day morning. Communion service then at 12 noon. The evening prayer time at 7:10. And the communion thanksgiving service at 7:30. Then on the notice board and on the table today, there's some new material. And one of those things is in regard to some teaching sessions taking place at the organized by the Theological College. And these are taking place over four Saturday mornings in March, April, and May. And they're designed for equipping and training anyone who's involved in teaching God's Word in any way. So right across from Sabbath school teachers through to camp officers and CY leaders, whatever it may be. Each of the four professors at the college will be taking one of the Saturday mornings. David Mackay, Warren Peel, Stephen Neely, and Robert McCollum in that order. There are lots of cards on the table, and there's no charge for this, but there is a registration. And David Sutherland is the registrar, and people are asked to, if they're hoping to attend, to register with David by the 22nd of February. So then the other thing is the weekend conference, used to be called the adult conference. It didn't happen the last 2 years because of COVID, but it's on again this year, and that's in the Armagh City Hotel from the 17th to the 19th of March. This will be the 50th occasion on which this has happened. And the speaker this year is from the Evangelical Presbyterian Church from Stranmillis EP Church, Reverend Gareth Burke. Booking forms, there were some on the vestibule table, and I think there more can be made available if we haven't got enough. Michael and Audrey are on the organizing committee for this conference, and so they're the best people to ask if you have any questions, if you're thinking of going along. Wednesday, the 15th of February, is the date that applications are due by. The church cleaning rota then for this week, Michael and Audrey are on that, and there are some prayer points and church news items on the announcement sheet. So those are the announcements that I'll mention. We come now to the worship of God, and we sing his praise, turning first of all for opening psalm. To Psalm 51, it's the B version that we sing, and we sing Psalm 51B using the tune St. Kilda 147, and the stanzas we sing are the ones at the end from stanza 12 through to 16, stanzas 12 to 16 of Psalm 51B. And stanza 12 says, "My closed lips, O Lord, by thee let them be opened. Then shall thy praises by my mouth abroad be published." left to ourselves, our lips are closed, And God needs to open our lips so that we will praise him. And God is able to do that, and God has done that many times. And this psalm and the next psalm that we sing speak to us about something about sacrifice and something about the sacrifice that God desires. In stanza 14, it says, "A broken spirit is to God a pleasing sacrifice. A broken and a contrite heart, Lord, thou wilt not despise." And these words speak to us about our attitude to sin, our awareness that we ourselves have sinners, that we have sinned against God, that we have let God down. And that is the heart attitude that the Lord wants to see in his worshiping people. These are things that the Lord will not despise. So Psalm 51b, we sing 12 to 16 to the tune 147. We stand to sing and remain standing then for prayer. Let us worship God. Now we speak to God in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we give thanks now for the opportunity to gather together today in public worship. And Lord, we come to you as those who have fallen short of what you require. And we confess our sins. We acknowledge, O Lord, that we have not lived as you want us to live. We've gone our own way rather than your way. And our ways are not your ways. And so, Lord, we look to you for forgiveness. We look to you for that work within our heart. We pray that you would be the God who would change us within our heart, that you would be the one who would open our lips that we might be able to praise you. We ask for your help now in this time of public worship. We pray that as we read in the scriptures, that you would help us to see your truth there, to understand your truth, and we pray that you will give us a heart to delight in it. We give thanks, Lord, for all who are able to gather in today. We give thanks for your granting of recovery to some who have not been well, but who are able to be out and about today. And we pray for others, O Lord, who are not able to be among us. We pray that you'll be with them in their different settings, and we pray that your word will be a help and comfort to them. And we pray, Lord, that you would draw near and that you would give comfort and help in the midst of infirmity. Lord, hear our prayers now and work among us by your sovereign Holy Spirit. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now we read together today in God's Word from the New Testament book of Hebrews. And turning to chapter 7 in the book of Hebrews, I want to read a few verses at the beginning of this chapter, and then a reading also from verse 11 through to the end of the chapter. So the first three verses, and then moving on to verse 11 in our Pew Bible, it's page 1065. Hebrews chapter 7, and reading from the beginning. Just at the end of Hebrews chapter 6, it speaks about how the Lord Jesus Christ has become high priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. And then at the start of chapter 7, it tells us who this Melchizedek was. And it says, "For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being translated king of righteousness," that is, Melchizedek means king of righteousness, "and then also king of Salem, meaning king of peace, without father, without mother, without genealogy, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like the Son of God, remains a priest continually." And then at verse 11, "Therefore, if perfection were through the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should rise according to the order of Melchizedek, and not to be called according to the order of Aaron?" And this is speaking about the Lord Jesus, who was that other priest that rose. Verse 12, "For the priesthood being changed, of necessity there is also a change of the law. For he of whom these things are spoken belongs to another tribe, from which no man has officiated at the altar. For it is evident that our Lord," that's the Lord Jesus, "arose from Judah, of which tribe Moses spoke nothing concerning priesthood. And it is yet far more evident if, in the likeness of Melchizedek, there arises another priest who has come, not according to the law of a fleshly commandment, but according to the power of an endless life. For he testifies, 'You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek.' For on the one hand, there is an annulling of the former commandment because of its weakness and unprofitableness, for the law made nothing perfect. On the other hand, there is the bringing in of a better hope, through which we draw near to God. And inasmuch as he was not made priest without an oath, for they have become priests without an oath, but he with an oath by him who said to him, 'The Lord has sworn and will not relent,' you are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. By so much more, Jesus has become a surety of a better covenant. Also, there were many priests because they were prevented by death from continuing. But he, because he continues forever, has an unchangeable priesthood. Therefore, he is able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. For such a high priest was fitting for us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and has become higher than the heavens, who does not need daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifices first for his own sins and then for the people's. For this he did once for all when he offered up himself. For the law appoints as high priests men who have weakness, but the word of the oath, which came after the law, appoints the Son, who has been perfected forever. And we end our scripture reading there at the close of Hebrews chapter 7. And I just want to say a few words at this stage on that very last verse there in Hebrews chapter 7. That's not what I'm going to be preaching on today. But in the last verse of Hebrews, you have a contrast between those who are weak and someone else who is perfect. Children, if you really were stuck in a situation and you just couldn't do something for yourself, I wonder who you would ask to help you. Well, I suppose it depends. It depends on what you need. It depends on what you can't do. It depends on what you need help with. If there's something way up high that you can't reach, well, I wonder what kind of person you would ask to help you. I would think it would be somebody that would be tall. You wouldn't ask someone who's even shorter than you are if you're trying to get to reach something way up high. Or what if you were trying to find out how to get somewhere? What if you weren't sure of your way? Well, you would want to ask someone who would know the way. Someone who's been there before, someone who knows where things are. Or what if there's something that you can't get open? You're trying to get the lid off something and you just can't get it to move at all. Well, I suppose you would look for somebody who was strong, somebody with a strong hand, and they would be able to take it and they would get it off, no problem at all. So it depends. It depends what you can't do, who you might ask to help you. Now, in the last verse here in Hebrews chapter 7, we're told about one set of people, and they were priests, and we're told about their weakness. We're told about how they weren't really able to help because of their weakness. And the weakness of people in the Bible who were priests is seen again and again. There are many different stories in the Bible that shows us that the priests weren't really much use at all. They themselves were sinners, and the priests kept on dying, and they had to be replaced by others, and none of them lasted for very long. So the priests were weak, but then we're told about someone who wasn't weak, and he's not described as being strong, but he is described as being perfect, and this is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's called, in this verse, he's called the Son, and he has been made perfect forever. Jesus was tempted, the priests were tempted, and the priests sinned. Jesus was tempted, and he didn't sin. Jesus never sinned. He has no sin of his own. And also, Jesus lives forever. He did once die, but he rose from the dead, and he lives forever. And Jesus is perfect. The priests were weak, but Jesus is perfect. He is perfect in every way. And Jesus is able to help us in every way. And so we are to trust Jesus. We're to ask Jesus to forgive us our sins. We're to ask Jesus to save us. And whatever Jesus does, he does it perfectly. No one else could do a better job than the Lord Jesus in forgiving sins and saving sinners. And Jesus only has to do things once. And we'll be thinking about that today. If Jesus does something once, that thing is done. And whatever Jesus does, he does perfectly. He does it well. So the priests were weak, but Jesus was perfect. And we are to look to Jesus, and he will help us perfectly. He knows exactly what our needs are. Now we're going to sing again to God's praise, and it's Psalm 50. We're going to be singing part of Psalm 50. We use the tune Silchester, number 206. The previous psalm that we sang spoke about sacrifice, and so does this psalm that we're singing. Psalm 50, we sing stanzas 7 to 12. And in stanza 8, we're being told that God is not blaming his people for the sacrifices that they were offering up to him every day. He doesn't lay any blame upon them for their burnt offerings. God reminds the people that he owns all the things that they have offered up to him, that the cattle on a thousand hills belong to him. He says that the birds are all well known to him because they are all his own. God owns all things, and we can't give God anything that isn't his already. Stanza 12, he says, "Will I eat flesh of bulls or goat's blood drink will I?" Well, he's not going to do that. And then God says, this is what I want you, this is the kind of sacrifice I want you to make. He says, "Thanksgiving sacrifice, and pay your vows to God Most High." God wants us to be thankful people who recognize how much we owe to the Lord. He doesn't want us to go around in life thinking that we have missed out on so much, that we have been ill-treated, that life has not been kind to us. But God delights in a spirit of thanksgiving, and that is a sacrifice that he accepts. And so we need to have thankful hearts. And let us sing to the Lord as he reminds us of these things. Psalm 50, stanzas 7 to 12, to the tune Silchester 206, we stand to sing to God's praise.
Thank you.
We come now to God in prayer. As we do so, remember our communion season that we're entering into and pray for God's blessing upon that. We remember those men who are in training for gospel ministry. It was the student preaching exercises on Tuesday night past in Ballyclabber. Our two students, Johnny Fitzsimons and Kenny Stevenson, both preached very well at that. We give thanks for those men, pray for them. Tuesday, they begin their second term of classes in their second year at the Theological College. In terms of their classes, they've reached the halfway mark, and they have three terms of teaching remaining, one this year and two next year. Their summer placements have been arranged for the months of May and June. And then we pray also for those who will follow on as the next batch of students already from within the Southern Presbytery. There are two men who have indicated their intention to train for gospel ministry, both from the Ballinan Bally Lane congregations, Gareth Orr and Lee Stewart. And we can pray that there'll be other men that upon whose hearts God will work and will call them clearly to train for that work. So we come now to God in prayer. If you're able, please stand as we pray. Our gracious God in heaven, we return thanks to you that there is one who has walked upon the face of this earth, who was perfect in all his ways. We thank you that the Lord Jesus Christ was not perfect because everything was easy for him, because he had a trouble-free life. But we praise you that he was tempted in every way, that he endured great hardship, that there were many, many troubles that our Lord went through. And we thank you that he knows what it is to live in this troubled world. But we praise you that he was and is perfect in all his ways. And, O Lord, we know that we are not like that. And so we confess our sin to you. We confess our un-Christ-likeness. You were well pleased with him, for he was perfect in all his ways. But, O Lord, we are not perfect in all our ways. We're not perfect in any of our ways. Even in our very best things, O Lord, we acknowledge that there are things that are flawed and things that do not honor you. And so we confess our sin. We confess, Lord, that we make much of ourselves and we make little of you. We confess, O Lord, that there is within us much of the spirit of Prince Harry. We fail to see how good you have been to us in life and how you have showered upon us so many wonderful things. And we focus instead upon the things that we don't like. And so, Lord, we pray that you will forgive us for our ingratitude. Forgive us, O Lord, for when we have thought so much about ourselves and had nothing to say about you and about your abundant goodness and about your wonderful salvation. We thank you that in your mercy you have brought us into a new year. And we thank you for this year, O Lord. We praise you that you know all about it, that you know all that will take place in the nations of this world, that you know all that will happen in our lives. And we praise you, Lord, for how you have equipped and prepared us for the things that we will have to face. We praise you for how past experiences are a great help to us in facing the things that we are yet to face. And Lord, we pray that this will be a year in which you will work mightily. We pray that many will come to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that their lives will be turned around and that they will gain a heart for him. We pray that among those who are already saved, O Lord, that it will be a year of spiritual growth, of development in the things of the Lord, of growth of the fruit of the Spirit, development in the graces of Almighty God, increasing Christ-likeness. Lord, help us to turn away from our sins, to leave behind those things that are unprofitable, and to choose those things that are truly good and that are of eternal benefit and consequence. We do pray for those who are training for the work of gospel ministry. We give thanks for Johnny Fitzsimons and Kenny Stevenson within our own denomination. We pray for other men who are training for ministry in other settings. And Lord, we pray that you'll be with all who are in that position, that they will learn much through their studies. And we pray, O God, that you will build them up in their faith. We thank you for others who have sensed that call of God. We pray for Gareth Orr and pray for Lee Stewart. We pray for these men, for the work that they will do in the time before their studies will commence. And we pray that that time will be very profitable. And we pray that you will add to their number, that there'll be others who will join with them. We pray for for benefit from the meetings being organized by the Theological College to help people in the opportunities they have for teaching your word. And we pray that many would find that to be useful. We give thanks, Lord, for this communion season that we enter into. We praise you, God, that you bring us to remember the great importance of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, we pray that as we remember our Lord's death, that you will use that for good, that we will benefit spiritually, and that you, Lord, will work in our hearts and do a good work there that will bring honor to you, that will do good to us and to others. Lord, hear our prayers. We pray that you will work among us as we consider the teaching of your word. And we pray all now in Jesus' name. Amen. Right. I am only going to say this once. Is a phrase that encourages us to pay attention. To pay attention to what is about to be said. If someone says that they're only going to say something once, well, you know you need to pay attention. If you don't listen carefully and you miss that thing that is about to be said, it's not going to be said again, and it will prove to be a foolish choice. Once is a small word, and once is a very important word in the Scriptures. I may be a bit daft, but once is the theme that I've chosen for this communion season. One word, once. And in the New Testament book of Hebrews, it is an important word. And I hope to speak on a few places in the book of Hebrews where this word is used. In most cases in where I'll be speaking from, it is once for all. That's the phrase that is used. But the word once, even in itself, carries the full meaning. Once. And at this preparation service today, I want to speak on a single verse which we read earlier in Hebrews chapter 7. And that verse is verse 27. So we're thinking today about Hebrews 7, verse 27. It's a verse that doesn't sit on its own. It is within a context where the writer is comparing the Lord Jesus Christ as God's great appointed high priest. Jesus is being compared to all those other merely human high priests who had gone before him and who I suppose were still in existence probably at the time when Hebrews was written. And unlike those other high priests, we're told in verse 24 that Jesus, because he continues forever, has an unchangeable priesthood. And in verse 27, the work of Jesus is compared to the work of those Levitical priests. And Jesus is shown to be a high priest who does not need daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifices, first for his own sins and then for the people's. For this he did once for all when he offered up himself. There's 3 points that I want to speak on today. In the first 2 points, I'll be speaking about what Jesus doesn't need to do. And the first of these, the heading is no sins of his own. And we're told here in Hebrews 7:27 that Jesus does not need daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifices first for his own sins. And all of those priests that we read of in the scriptures who followed on from Aaron, the brother of Moses, who was the original high priest, all of those other high priests, they all had their own sins. They were all sinners. They all had their own sins of which they were guilty. And before those high priests could ever offer up any sacrifice for the sins of anyone else, they had to first offer up sacrifices for their own sins. Every day they had to do that. And the spiritual leaders of God's people in those days, they were themselves sinners. And that has not changed. Ministers today are sinners. Elders today are sinners. We members of Session in Karatz RP Church and in any other church, we are men who are guilty of breaking God's law. And we need forgiveness for ourselves. And we need that on a daily basis. Each day, we have to confess our sins to Almighty God. That is never an item that we can stroke off our prayer list if we have a prayer list. That is a standing item. It is an item of business that's there every day. Every day, we have to come with our own sins before the Lord. That's how it is today. That's how it was in Bible times. But not with the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus was altogether different. Jesus had no sins of his own, for which he needed either a sacrifice or forgiveness. Earlier on in the book of Hebrews, we're reminded of the sinlessness of the Lord Jesus. Sinlessness in spite of how severely tempted he was. Hebrews 4:15. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Jesus Christ was fully tempted, but Jesus alone was without sin. So no sacrifice was needed for his own sins. Jesus needed no sacrifice for his own sins. And isn't that a great thing to know, that there has been someone who has walked on the face of this earth who didn't need any sacrifice for his own sins? Is that not something that would give you confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ? If you were ever going to have someone as your priest, would you not want it to be the Lord Jesus Christ? He is the one that we can trust. He can save others because he didn't need to save himself. He can deal with the sins of others because he has no sins of his own to deal with. No sins of his own. Last Sabbath day, you had Reverend James Blair here filling the pulpit in Karatz, and I was not so filling the pulpit in Ballyclabber. And before I went out to Ballyclabber on Sabbath morning, the last 10 minutes or so that I had, I was looking over some things, sitting at my desk, and I had my reading glasses in front of me, and the left lens dropped out onto the desk. And this had never happened to me before. And I looked at my glasses, and of course, I couldn't see my glasses very well because I didn't have my glasses on. You can't look at your glasses and wear your glasses at the same time. I'm learning these things. And I tried to see what the problem was, and I reckoned that on the left-hand side of my glasses, a little screw had come out. Now, where that screw was, I didn't know where the screw was. I didn't have time to start looking for a screw, but I thought I had one in a drawer along with a little screwdriver, and I tried to get that other little screw in, but I don't think it actually would have gone in. But it was so hard to see where the thing was supposed to go. And then when I came back from Ballyclabber, I must have spent about 20 minutes chasing that. I actually found the little screw that I'd lost, amazingly. But I spent so long chasing it around and trying to get it into the hole that it needed to go into. And whenever I couldn't see properly myself, it was very hard to fix my own glasses. It made me, I felt a bit like a blind optician or optometrist. Imagine if you went to get your eyes checked and the person who was doing the eye check was themselves blind. Well, it wouldn't inspire much confidence in you. And would that not have been the same situation with the priests that we encounter in the scriptures? Priests like Aaron and all of those who were his successors. Aaron, who made the golden calf. Would you be sure that your sacrifices would be accepted when your priest, your high priest, was a man like that? The Lord Jesus Christ made no golden calves. The Lord Jesus Christ had no sin of his own. He delighted in doing the will of God. He loved the law of the Lord. Jesus was the beloved Son of God, with whom his Father in heaven was well pleased. And there never was a single day when Jesus needed to offer up a sacrifice for his own sins. Not even once. And so we're reminded here in Hebrews 7:27 that Jesus had no sins of his own. This is the kind of priest that you want to have. Second thing I want to speak about then is about no daily sacrifice. We're told in verse 27 that Jesus does not need daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifices for the people's sins. The work of the priests who served at the tabernacle or later on at the temple was a highly repetitive work. Some of you do highly repetitive work, but the priests, it was a highly repetitive work that they did. Day after day, they had to perform the same sacrifices, morning and evening, again and again, day after day. Every day, sacrifices had to be made for the sins of the people, and that was their work. And at various times in the year, there were even more sacrifices that had to be made at the times of different religious festivals. But there never was a day when no sacrifice had to be made. Every day, sacrifices were needed for the sins of the people. And so for the priests, this was their life experience. This was their daily routine. This was the daily grind. And some of you can appreciate something of what that's like. The dishes that you've washed today, you'll probably be washing the same dishes again tomorrow. The cattle that were milked this morning, they'll need to be milked again this evening. The work is never done. And the same thing is just waiting to be done yet again. And surely that constant need for yet another sacrifice to be made for your sins, surely that was something that didn't really inspire much confidence in people who lived under that sacrificial system. If it has to be done again and again and again, is it really something that you can trust in at all? Imagine if you had an electric car. Maybe all of us will have electric cars in the future, but imagine you have an electric car and it needs charged every 5 miles. Well, you wouldn't be talking about how wonderful your electric car is. You wouldn't be talking about how quiet it is. It needs charged every 5 miles. That wouldn't even get me from the manse to Kilrats. Well, how good it is if we have the Lord Jesus Christ as our high priest. Because such was the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made that it doesn't need to be repeated daily. It doesn't need to be repeated weekly. It doesn't need to be repeated monthly or annually or whatever period of time you want to think of. It doesn't need to be repeated at all. He does it once. That's it. And we come to remember the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus. And it needs to be remembered. It needs to be remembered. It doesn't need to be repeated. It doesn't need to be reenacted. And when we come together in our communion, in our sacrament of the Lord's Supper, we are remembering a particular day in history when the Lord Jesus Christ, as God's appointed and God's continuing high priest, he made a sacrifice that has removed all need for priests and all need for any kind of sacrifice. There is no continuing need for sacrifice. And Jesus doesn't have to daily offer up a sacrifice for the sins of the people. No daily sacrifice and no sins of his own. And then in the third place, I want to speak about how Jesus once offered himself. We've considered what Jesus as our high priest doesn't have to do. But let us now see clearly why it is that Jesus doesn't have to do these things. Why does Jesus, unlike the other high priests, why does he not have to offer up daily sacrifices? Where we're told why at the end of verse 27. It is where it says, "For this he did once for all when he offered up himself." And here we're reminded that the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made was a different kind of sacrifice. And I want to speak about how it is a different sacrifice, and then how it is an effective sacrifice. First of all, it was a different sacrifice. Jesus once offered himself. It was a different sacrifice that he offered. What he offered up was not what the other high priests offered up. They offered up a lamb or a bull or a goat or whatever it was that God had prescribed. And there was a lot of unpleasantness in all of that bloody sacrifice. But when it was done, it was the animal that was dead, and the high priest was still alive. Well, Jesus didn't offer up a lamb or a bull or a goat. Instead, he offered up himself. Jesus was himself the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, John 1:29. Jesus, unlike the other high priests, Jesus sacrificed himself. Jesus offered up his own life, his own blood upon the cross. And Jesus became one of us in order that he might represent us and be punished in our place. It wasn't a lamb that was nailed to the cross. It wasn't a goat. It wasn't a bull that was nailed to the cross. It was one of us. Jesus became one of us so that he could be nailed to that cross as one of us. Lambs and bulls and goats cannot be a real substitute for a human being. God accepted those sacrifices as a temporary arrangement until such time as the great sacrifice of the Lord Jesus was made. So the sacrifice of Jesus was a different sacrifice. He offered himself. And we remember his death in the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. Jesus once offered himself. It was a different sacrifice that he offered, and it was an effective sacrifice. His sacrifice was different in its effectiveness because his was a one-off, never to be repeated sacrifice. Verse 27 says, "This he did once for all." Once for all. It was not something that had to be done again. It was not some sacrifice where there was a booster needed or a top-up that would be needed at some stage in the future. No, it was a completely effective sacrifice. It needed to be made, but it needed to be made only once. And the once for all here in Hebrews 7:27, it means once for all time. That's what it means. It doesn't mean anything other than once for all time. It doesn't mean once for all people. It means once for all time. And the contrast is between the daily sacrifices of the high priests and the once for all sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are meant to marvel and to rejoice at this once-for-all nature of Christ's sacrifice. He did it once for all to deal with the sins of his people. Imagine you had one of those electric cars. And imagine you only ever had to charge it up once. That was it. No need to look for a charging point. One charge would last forever. Well, that is how it is with the sacrifice that Jesus Christ has made. It was done, and when it was done once for all. And today, those who are truly trusting in Jesus Christ are trusting in our Lord's once-for-all act of self-sacrifice, that once-for-all thing that Jesus did has been completely effective in dealing with our sins. All of our hope is based on that once-for-all act of the Lord Jesus Christ. We believe that all of our sins have been dealt with, dealt with in full forever, that our debt has been cleared and it has been cleared forever. And we believe that our salvation is not something that comes partly from our own efforts and partly from what Jesus has done. No, it is Jesus Christ who saves us. We do not save ourselves. He saves us. Verse 25 reminds us that he saves to the uttermost. And he saves by means of his own once for all sacrifice. And nothing you do, no act of self-sacrifice on your part can save you or save you in the slightest. It is only the once for all self-sacrifice of the Lord Jesus that will do it. Jesus alone must save us to the uttermost, or we are not saved at all. And this is what we need to believe as we come to the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. Is that what you actually believe? Is that your faith? Is that the substance of your faith? Well, if you are trusting in that once for all sacrifice of the Lord Jesus, then the Lord's Supper will do you good. And it will do you good every day to remember that you owe everything to the once for all sacrifice of the Lord Jesus. And every day, if you're looking to Christ, every day you can be like that person driving around in their electric car who knows that their charge is never, never going to run out. That their charge is never going to run low. And they don't have worries, and they don't have fears, and they don't have anxieties about what is to come, because they know that all is well. In Christ, we have been fully charged. Once for all. That's what he did. In him, we have life. In him, we have life to the full. And when Jesus Christ saves, he gives eternal life, life that is everlasting. He charges us once, and that's us. It is everlasting life that he gives. And so, are you confident in Christ? Do you look to Jesus Christ believing that through him your eternal destiny is sorted once for all? Because here is God's way of saving sinners. This is the way that God does it. And we need to pay attention, because it only happens once. Jesus Christ, his once-for-all act of self-sacrifice, which is sufficient. It is sufficient. That is all that we need. Trusting in the work of Jesus Christ, there is nothing lacking in it. It is all that is needed. And so let us rejoice in that once-for-all action of our Lord when he offered up himself. Amen. Let us sing to God's praise a part of Psalm 22, a psalm that foretells the sufferings of the Lord Jesus. God caused his servant David to write things that are much more powerfully and clearly fulfilled in the life of Jesus, the son of David, than they were in the life of David himself. We sing in Psalm 22, stanzas 10 through to 15. The tune is Gabriel, number 90. Look at stanzas 13 and 14. For dogs have now surrounded me. On every side there stands an evil band of wicked men who pierce my feet and hands. My bones are plain for me to count. Men look at me and stare. My clothes among them they divide and cast lots for their share. These things happened to our Lord when he offered up himself upon the cross, and they were foretold in the scriptures. And this was God's sacrifice that he was going to accept. All the other sacrifices were leading up to this. And once this one happened, there was no need for any more. And so we sing of the sufferings of our Savior. Psalm 22, stanzas 10 to 15. And we use the tune Gabriel, number 90. We stand to sing and then remain standing for the benediction. Receive God's blessing. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and fellowship of God the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.